Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 15th on the West Coast, now March the 16th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those listening around the world on Wind Talkers Radio Network, where I had a two-hour visit today with the host of a Marines Disquisition, Drew Malone Raines III, and we touched upon a number of topics. So you may hear something that we discussed on this afternoon's show. Wouldn't hurt to repeat it. Also, we'd like to welcome those listening in on blogtalkradio.com. Before bringing tonight's guest on board, I would like to let my listeners know that there's someone who has been duplicating my research, duplicating it in terms of plagiarizing my research. This individual writes articles under the pen name John Carlson. John spelled J-O-N, Carlson with a C. And I've taken offense to the fact that this individual has the gall, or the stupidity, either one, to send this to me in an email, his articles, and I put his in quotes and italics. I find it interesting that research no one else in the world has done is attributed to himself, and he calls it our research, as if he's conducted it alongside me. He doesn't give me credit whatsoever. He has given credit for other things that where I think he sees himself getting into some trouble. However, I contacted a few places that post his material and let them know. And, of course, they're appalled to learn this. I have proof right in my hands that this is going on. And my concern is that his own drivel gets mixed up with solid research that's being recognized around the world, the truth about what's actually going on. Now, I went down the rabbit hole, as I like to say, on this character, and I discovered a bankruptcy. Now, lots of people have bankruptcies. That doesn't make them evil. But in this particular case, this guy is putting out information that's just not true about himself. Certainly, if you're going to write under a pen name and use bogus email addresses, cover your tracks a little bit. It's pretty easy to follow this guy. But I've located him, at least for a time, in Washington State, up in a town called Puyallup. Puyallup is how they pronounce it there in Washington, southeast of Tacoma. Now, I started looking amongst the usual lists that I detail or look for details in when I'm doing these genealogical pieces that I've been doing. This guy outright stole my research, and it doesn't surprise me that he's almost celebrating some of the German names, the Nazi names that I've uncovered. Of course, he makes it sound like this is something that he has found and somehow the rest of the world hasn't read my research or listened to this show and listened to me talk about this, not just on my show, but on many other networks across the world over the past 3-4 years. And I find that there are some coincidences with this name. And I stumbled upon a connection to a Nazi company called ThyssenKrupp. This was a These were two of the Illuminati families of World War II. And certainly what I've been tripping on, and I mean tripping, in relationship to this name affiliated with that company is staggering. And it's opened up a whole new myriad of connections. You'd be amazed the power and control in industry that ThyssenKrupp has in the United States. And it's a German corporation, and I suppose if you're creating a globalist society, you want to have your Nazi roots everywhere you possibly can. And it's going to be quite an investigation as this goes on. But I want to let you know that I have a concern that the disinformation that this individual puts out certainly should not be attributed to my work. And if necessary, I will take other methods to deal with this individual in the courts. I have a disdain for the courts. They're corrupt. We talk about that quite a bit. It's the cover for the organized crime. That's all it is. And but in this case, I can do plenty of damage on this show and in my writing. And I will publish what the individual wrote, what he stole. And he's not only stolen it from me, he's stolen work from other journalists as well. And they have been notified accordingly. So with that, I'd like to bring on tonight's guest. He goes down the rabbit hole on his radio show, The Story Behind the Story, heard Monday through Friday on RBN. He is a naturopath and a researcher and a journalist and an author, and he's our good friend on Monday nights here on Evander A. Truat. Drew, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show again, as usual. And, yeah, we just, we've had this ongoing discussion with such plagiaristic authors many times as well. And, yeah, it's amazing. Call it the Hal Turner syndrome is what I refer to it with. You know, it's, you know, those that are maybe listening that don't remember and know the Hal Turner story, just Google his name up now. He was quite a eyebrow-raising talk show host, and he was out there definitely raising the boiling point of a lot of people, and kind of crossed the line. I'm just amazed that the powers that be came out and basically acknowledged that he was on their payroll. He's FBI and intelligence lackey. So yeah, you have to be really careful with a lot of these people, because it I've always said this, my guests also bring this out on my show. You know, you don't really have to worry about getting tackled on the field or getting attacked if you're not carrying the ball. You know, if you're just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, not a problem. And you never get flak fired at you on an anti-aircraft gun unless you're really close to the target and over the target. So it's a compliment to you, Don, that people have to plagiarize your work.
Yeah, it's not just one article either. I mean, he came out now with a whole piece on the long-legged Mac Daddy.
Mm-hmm.
He's discovered that the photos are fraudulent. He's discovered the documentation. How long has the birth certificate issue been out there?
Yeah.
You know, it's been almost 2 years at least, and nothing's been done about it in an official capacity. And this guy comes out with an article like he just discovered it. And then the prior article was on my SHRF research back from April of 2007.
Right.
That's published in a newspaper and published on the internet way back then. And he just came out with this and has the gall to send it to me in an email. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, well, you know, there's quite a few people that you know, I try to, it's not a good idea to cast stones or to, you know, be negative, but sometimes you just have to raise your eyebrows and wonder. And this Sam Kennedy individual right now is getting a lot of people sending him money, checks, and notarized statements, and yeah, I was asked to do the same, and I checked it out. He sounds like he's doing something constructive, but you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you look at what he's really doing, filing these de jure journalists or jurists, you've got de jure is just basically something that anybody can put together, but to have money solicited, and not just $30 or $40, but try $400 to $500, it raises some eyebrows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you do some very superficial research, and questions to begin to pop up. You know, there's he makes documentations or doesn't provide documentation, but actually just makes the statement that the military is behind this and basically coaching him in this. Well, if that's the case, we need to hear from the military brass. You know, the judge advocate generals, if this is really legitimate, do you think they would be jumping on to let themselves know, be known, and how they stand as well on it? So, a lot of red flags, a lot of question marks.
Yes, well, the name of that organization, the Restore America Plan. The Restore America Plan is an acronym for the word TRAP, T-R-A-P.
Mm-hmm.
That says something right there. But people don't look at it multidimensionally, number one. And when someone is putting something out so important, you should be able to find out something about the person, who they are. Especially if they have a presence on internet radio, you should be able to find out why that person is being called a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And as is the case, we know of at least two aliases in that regard that show us that that's not who the person is. So,
yep.
You know, you're using your name. I'm using my name. I'm not hiding behind any veil or any mask. And that's what gets the powers that be upset that there are those telling the truth out there that are not afraid to disclose who they are. A person using two different aliases, totally different aliases, one related to a murderer, a serial killer in New York, the other name attributed to a former president of the United States in an Illuminati family. Certainly says something about the intentions of the individual.
Yes,
now, in the case of the individual I'm talking about plagiarizing my material and that of others, I know the person's real name. And the connection that I made with it is astounding. This individual is likely using various modifications of his real name, you know, changing the order of letters, and it brings up a whole slew of court cases, scams being done in the financial communities, Ponzi schemes, all kinds of stuff. And a person is claiming to be a pilot as if that somehow associates him with people. He's written on 9/11, written about 9/11, we'll say. And there's a similarity to how he publishes this newsletter that he puts out that is sort of following the work of David Hawkins and Field McConnell and these Tontine contracts with the airplanes. I suspected that there was a connection there, and I found one. So I'm not sure if David and Field are informed as to my findings or if they even suspect this, but I tell you, as the days go on, this stuff is getting uncovered piece by piece, and the amount of corruption that's occurring behind the scenes is being unveiled. It's just staggering what is going on. It really is. And I'll share some of that with you off the air. But
well, you know, it's funny how we try to accept people on face value, you know, and the agent provocateurs of, I think, probably some of the worst are Rima Labow and this her husband, General Bert Stubblebine. You know, they're here putting out all the right, saying all the right things in newsletters and Natural Solutions Foundations, and yet, if you really look deeply, you find some really strange things going on. Rima Labow, by her own brother's accusations, is a practicing, you know, witch, Wiccan pagan. Her, of course, tying into Stubblebine in the First Earth Battalion, which is really bizarre when you look at the remote viewing practices and trying to walk through walls and all of that that's put out in the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, not the movie now by the same name, but the actual John Ronson book. It's just an amazing thing that anybody would want to not only sign on to their newsletter, but send them money every month. I mean, it just, you're right, Don. Boggles the mind. Boggles the mind. And we have John Hamill with the International Advocates for Health Freedom. Now, John's the real deal, and he's been doing yeoman's work on a very limited shoestring, trying to get people awake and alert on Codex and what's going on with Codex Alimentarius. And you have Rima coming on board with him and absolutely submarining him. That's an amazing story, Don. And then I have a signed, notarized statement from an FDA criminal investigator who was working with Rima as well, not against Codex, but his signed statement shows that she wants it. She wants that to go through, working for the Club of Rome. So, you know, that's the reality. That's the truth. It will stand up in any court of law. It's not popular to say these things, but, you know, you got to draw a line in the sand sometimes, Don. And agent provocateurs are indeed out there infiltrating these movements. And it's sad because they'll bring you to a point of excitement. They'll tell you all kinds of things, solicit money from you. That's a huge red flag. Solicit donations, get hundreds of thousands of people behind him, and then dress him up with no place to go, so to speak. Metaphor usage, they just like getting you dressed up for a ballroom dance, and there's no place to go, no ballroom dance to go to. And this is by design, I believe, Don.
Yeah, now normally many states consider plagiarism, for example, is a misdemeanor. However, when you charge money for it or when you accept money for your plagiarism, it puts it in a totally different category. Mm-hmm. And these people seem to do all of this stuff with total impunity, with no concern about the consequences. And certainly, you know, I don't mean to sound like I'm harping on my work. You've had this done to you.
Oh, dozens of times. Dozens of times, in fact. And, you know, what do you do? We actually had a series of my papers that were first appeared at, I allowed Jeff Renz to post them, and within 24 hours, they appeared with a whole different author's name in Pakistan Daily's newspaper. And he actually had the, talk about gall, he put his name on it, last name of Zing, actually had made the statement that I had plagiarized him, and it was my word for word. So away you go.
Well, it's no accident. You know, I tend to think when I follow these trails with some of these characters that are out there doing this stuff, that I end up with an organization like ThyssenKrupp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Thiessen family was involved in the laundering of all the money that was coming, not to mention what they gave the SS and Hitler and his Nazis. And people say, I'm tired of listening to people talk about Nazis. You know, the war is over. World War II is over a long time ago. Their ignorance doesn't explain away what we uncover in research.
Absolutely. And the underpinnings of the Nazi SS and the British MI6 today and the CIA can never be understated, Don. We're talking as many as 4,000 to 5,000 British and American passports and new names given to the Nazi elite, and that's a reality. Just do your homework and do a search for Operation Paperclip, and you know, to the Freedom of Information Act, a lot of this has been released now. And it's entering the second generation, but see, these people have not gone away. They're just basically like, you know, like a maggot in a pile of flesh. They're just waiting for their time to molt and to get wings again. Literally, you know, Nazi wings once again. That's why it's so important to understand where this line goes, ladies and gentlemen. Why the imposter in the White House needs to be exposed as to who's behind him, who is bringing him to power, and who's basically holding his puppet strings and making him work, and never more so than the president before him, George W. Bush. It doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican. It's the same group of people that are manipulating the scenes.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
Yes, and I may have mentioned this, the location of this individual. It appears that he may have lost his office, the one in Washington, state of Washington. There are defense contractors in this building. Is that an accident? And ThyssenKrupp is also in that town, too. And that's something that I followed up on a hunch, on the basis of other information I found.
Well, and this what I wrote last week to you about this NSA center that's going into Utah and the construction company that's going to be building it. It's a Nazi company. That's just. Yep,
yeah.
It keeps going on. Again, just all you have to do is to do a research on the company, Turner Construction Company out of New York, and you find the Turner Construction Company just happened to have the contract to clean up the World Trade Center debacle. Why is that important? Well, Turner Construction Company is building this NSA center, and they're a subsidiary. They're a wholly owned outfit by Hochtief, the Nazi company that built all of Adolf Hitler's defenses and even the Wolf's Lair, the Fuhrer bunker in Berlin that supposedly Hitler killed himself in, where they found his body. But did they ever positively identify it? It was never brought out for public display or anything like that. It was just assumed it was disfigured. Well, on and on we go. Well, the Fuhrer bunker in Berlin has got multiple escape tunnels going into the underground many miles. Very, very probable that Hitler came out of Germany.
Well, there have been numerous independent accounts from some of the mind control victims that they met him.
Yep. Peter Chernoff on my radio show 2 weeks ago claimed he witnessed Adolf Hitler's ritual in 1985. Absolutely no doubt about it, he said.
Wow. Now, I hadn't heard that particular show because there's an indication that he was spending some time in California along with Joseph Mengele.
Yes, that's exactly what he was
saying. I found another alias for Mengele, too.
Yes.
And you know, this alias is tied to several murders. pretty prominent cases. There is a young girl named Felicia Lee. She went by the name of Felicia Tang. She was a porn star and living in Monrovia, California. And she married a man by the name of Dr. Frank Felix. Oh, now I'm trying to think of the last name here. shame on me. I don't have the research right in front of me. Well, it doesn't really matter. It's an alias. But this particular case, it's been blamed on the pastor of her church, or a church pastor, we'll say, as the murderer. Now, I don't put it past one of those clowns either. But in this particular incident, there's a mirrored case that has to do with his wife. He married a woman who is now in jail for the murder of him. And he's still out there. This is his alias. Figure that one out. And he shows up in Berkeley and Oakland, California, which is synchronistic with us, with Otto Skorzeny's testimony that he was the Zodiac killer.
Wow.
And that the San Francisco Police Department was ordered to stand down on that investigation because of who the murderer was. So, and according to the research that I found, he fathered two children with this woman that he was married to. The woman was 16 years old when he was treating her, I think she married him rather young. He was about 50 years old at the time, they say, but I think he was quite a bit older, much older. He was probably in his 70s at the time that this occurred. And, of course, they're staying young with oxygen treatments and cryogenics and probably organ transplants. So.
Well, yeah, there was I received an email, Don, from... I forget who sent it to me. I think maybe it was Jeremiah, but you probably saw the same thing then. The many, many faces of Queen Elizabeth, Queen Victoria, and others, okay? But the queen, the current queen, how she's entertained presidents from Truman to the present Barack Hussein Obama. And really, there's just an unbelievable ability to keep the youth.
Yes, I've seen that, and I've seen the photos too.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it makes you wonder how old she was when she got started.
Really. Of course, you know that David Icke's declarations are quite amazing. Where the Queen Mother he brings out eyewitnesses of that situation as well, of what happens in rituals there. And again, David Icke's book, The Biggest Secret, really goes into detail about what really happened to Princess Diana and that situation. Princess Diana evidently was going to be coming out with some documented evidence of really who Charles really is, and There was just there had to be a silencing going on there at the Ponte Alma Tunnel.
You mean he's not the polo player we've been led to believe?
Maybe not. Yeah, you know, when Princess Diana went, after she was first married and had the first of the little brats, the little princes, she went bulimic, if you remember. You know, she lost a lot of weight, was reclusive, was in a state of shock, and then she came out of it about 8 or 10 years into the marriage. She found her own stride, you know, and got active in some charitable causes, and of course Dodi Fayed and that situation was quite amazing. But sources close to the situation, and I've talked with David Icke personally about this in a little bit of detail. Here she is on her honeymoon with Prince Charles, and he kind of slithered into the sheets, if you know what I'm talking about. She called a very close friend and said he's not human. Kind of an amazing accusation.
And that wasn't a figure of speech.
No, not at all. I guess he saved the best shape-shifting for when he was in the bridal chamber.
Well, there are accounts here in the States of the royal family coming here and visiting certain individuals in prisons, for example, and the decadence that goes on there. Separate stories that really show the sadistic nature of some of these people. I mean, why would you want to go visit somebody in a prison cell? And this isn't just any individual we're talking about. We're not talking about the average drug dealer or murderer. We're talking about someone that was under MK Ultra mind control and was fashioned to be an assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And this person is being schooled by being in prison, being taught a lesson, and visited by the royal family.
Well, what would they want to do that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's even anything you can talk about on the radio. Let's say just to be ritualistic. How's that?
Well, it's a bizarre story, and of course David Icke has gone way out on the limb, and you know it's supporting his weight. I mean, there's people that will just roll their eyes for the most part and say it's just absolutely ludicrous. But then again, as he says so often, why is it so strange to believe? And why is it so hard to believe when you look back in history and all of the cultures of the world that have the dragon as their basis? And the coat of arms of the coat of the Prince of Wales, and all over the City of London, you see this winged dragon holding the coat of arms. It gets very interesting when you look at bloodlines again, and the current royal family coming out of Romania, coming out of the Baltic states, and into the areas of the dragon stronghold, Transylvania. Vlad Tepes, the Vlad the Impaler, which is the model for Count Dracul, the Dracula of Bram Stoker. Well, you know, the reality of that story, Don, as you know, is more bizarre than Hollywood would ever put on the screen. Vlad the Impaler was absolutely a sadistic, bloodthirsty creature of hell, no doubt about it, impaling the skulls of his victims by the literally tens of thousands around the area of Transylvania. Imagine a Turk army coming, trying to come into the territory of Vlad the Dracul, and the terror of seeing tens of thousands of human skulls impaled on these 10-foot stakes. Amazing,
yes.
Amazing scene.
And then, you know, my research into the Eisenhower clan took me to that very same area. Mm. And we had two world wars. World War One sprung out of that very area.
It did. It did indeed.
There was certainly more involved. That's how world wars are created.
And you look at the people that came out of that era, and this is where people get really confused. Nobody really talks about this in depth. But we need to shout it from the rooftops. The bloodline that comes out of there, ladies and gentlemen, are claiming to be Jews today. But in reality, they are not the Hebrew of antiquity. They are not the Sephardic Jews who can trace their bloodline to the Holy Land. They have no claim to that at all. You look back at the Khazarian Jew of the Transylvania, Bulgaria region, you see they came out of Babylon. After the exile of Muhammad and what Muhammad did to rid the world of the darkness of the satanic worshiping, blood sucking ritual demons, they settled in their stronghold of Khazarian region and in that area, the Transylvanian mountains. And that is where they gained a foothold. And you look at what happened during Hitler's rule, again, the Nazi rule, you see hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these Khazarian Jews never being laid a finger on. In fact, they the way was paved for them, ladies and gentlemen, to go into Palestine in the 1930s. Now, see, we're getting a lot of static now because we're hitting on some subjects that the powers that be doesn't want out there, Don. The migration in the 1930s into the Holy Land and the birth of modern terrorism. There's a great video now on YouTube that's been posted. Just type in the birth of modern terrorism and you'll see, you know, the truth put out there.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. And again, I keep running into those, you know, system. I'm able to decipher the system on how this was done.
Yeah.
You know, at the turn of the century, the 20th century, there certainly was a lot of rhetoric about America and the American dream and having a new life. And this country was built on immigrants. So that's a tradition that we honor in a sense because those people came here and were hard workers. But at the same time, the intelligence networks, the spies, and those that are running the show today were secreted into the country inside of that legal or that lawful way of coming into the country.
Yes.
There were people that waited 10 years to become naturalized citizens and went through the process, took classes and sat before a judge and were quizzed by the judge and had to take an examination and fill out all kinds of paperwork. Well, we now know they were being turned into citizens with a capital C. At the same time, these bankers were allowed to come into the country and say they were Americans when they never went through the process whatsoever. In fact, they didn't have to have any documentation to prove otherwise.
Right. And it goes back to the bloodline, again, coming from that area of the world via Transylvania and the Babylonian elite. They wanted to reestablish the homeland of Israel for them, not for the true Hebrew, but for the usurpers, the false ones, the Khazarians. You have in 1819, you see the there's this massive Jewish conference in Hamburg, Germany. You see, the historical text shows that over a period of days and into even weeks, they debated the role of Zionism, the establishment of Israel. And the historical fact is the European Jews were all in agreement that wasn't in the cards for them. They didn't want it. They had a democratic vote, and it was voted down. And they actually reprinted their prayer books, the Khazarian Jews' prayer books, basically reprinted to say, no more, we will have the Zionist ideal. And right after that happened in the 1820s, you see the emigration to America, just like you said, of these power brokers in Europe. One of the top families was Rogenfeder, who emigrated to New York and changed their name to Rockefeller. That's where it came from. And then you see the Devil Bill Rockefeller, his neighbors in New York call him Devil Bill because of his incredible practices and what he did. And Devil Bill gave birth to John D. And that's just one of the family lines. The Schiff family, as you've researched, and of course, the basic controlling Wall Street, elitist families. That's who they are. Now, don't be misled, ladies and gentlemen, when you see that they go and may embrace Christianity, become just window dressing. You have to look at the bloodlines. Because Zionism can change, can have many faces. You have a lot of the Mormon officials. So much of Mormonism is Zionism, very much linked to that. In fact, you see in Mormonism, you see one of the early Mormon apostles, a Jew named, a Khazarian Jew named Orson Hyde. And if you go back to the Holy Land now, you see that Orson Hyde's memorial gardens are there on the Mount of Olives. You see, Orson Hyde in the 1830s was commissioned by Joseph Smith to go and dedicate the Holy Land to the return of the Jew. And he did, in fact, go there on the Mount of Olives and give a dedicatory prayer. And so you have the the Israeli Jews there, the Khazarian overlords that are running that. They know full well what power brought this all to be. And to have the civil unrest of a world at war is what it would take to get them to have this done. And starting in the 1830s, mid-1830s to 1838, IRGUN, I-R-G-U-N is the name of the international Jews terrorist arm, and make no mistake, they attacked and killed many people during that their reign of terror before the war was even finished and the Nation of Israel established in 1848. It had to have many acts of terrorism to make that thing happen. Terrorism against the British Army. The people of Palestine, and it's ongoing. Again, just go into YouTube and type in the birth of modern terrorism and the name IRGUN, I-R-G-U-N. You can see that it's about a 2 or 3 part DVD. Great job done. Very accurate. Real life footage. I mean, real time footage of newsreels. It's all there.
Now, on some past shows, and I'm certain that I did at least one show on this topic with you. If we can switch topics for a moment,
surely
we can tie it back in anytime. We discussed this Large Hadron Collider.
Yes.
in Europe.
The LHC.
Yes, basically my opinion about it is that it's insanity.
It goes back. If you again do your homework, ladies and gentlemen, just type in LHC and Israel, and you'll see that the top creators of that are Israeli Jewish scientists. They're playing God. And you're right, Don. It's spooky. It's absolutely spooky what they can do, what they're planning on doing. It has to do with again opening up a wormhole or a stargate, if you will. And that's one of the things they really want to accomplish.
Yeah, they're leading us to believe that this is going to explain how the universe was created, and certainly we could talk to God and ask God to tell us. That seems a lot less expensive way to do it, and less dangerous way. But
their God, Don, is not my God.
That's right.
Their God is Lucifer, and they say so. If you really want to dig in, again, there's a great interview done by a Christian pastor named Walter White. Again, you can go in now. This is on multiple websites. Just type in Walter White and the Rosenthal document. Now, Walter White, back in 1976, I believe, interviewed the ranking assistant to the very powerful Jewish Senator Jacob Javits of New York, and Mr. Rosenthal was his assistant, and to pay for a junket trip to Las Vegas where he would party, he agreed to do this interview for money. And it's stunning. At the very end of the interview, again back in 1976, the interview kept going. Walter White wanted to know if he really believed that the Jews were God's chosen people. And finally, at the tail end of the interview, Mr. Rosenthal said, "Well, you don't like to admit it, and most Jews don't like to admit it, but yes, we are God's chosen people, but our God is Lucifer." So that pretty much let the cat out of the bag as far as I'm concerned. But he goes on and discusses the Jews' influence and total control of the media, the total control of the schools, ladies and gentlemen. This is an amazing revelation. The schools, the Department of Boards of Education, the Board of Regents, the curriculum that's put into the schools, then into the medical fields. It's pretty much all laid out there by Mr. Rosenthal. And so, when you see how he's so proud about it, this back in 1976, he's saying, we're so powerful and so smart and so elite that the goyim, the human sheeple, just really can't do anything about it now. We're too powerful. We're too enmeshed in the fabric that they can't do anything about it. But I submit that our God, the God Creator, Yahshua, Jehovah, God, now the one true God, Jesus Christ, is much, much more powerful than the fallen angels.
Now, regarding this collider, a couple of interesting facts came to surface recently. Number one, I was doing just a little bit of research, and I found that they shut it down last November.
Right.
Because a bird had dropped a baguette, or a small piece of a baguette, that touched something outside the accelerator ring. Imagine if the bird had diarrhea, what might have happened.
Oh boy!
I hate to be so gross, but if a simple little thing like that can interfere with it, Is that God's way of saying that this is wrong? You know, there's a little message in that. Now, I speculated, and just contemplating running two streams of atoms in opposing directions with the intention of colliding them at supersonic speeds. And we're talking about the goal is to go from 7 trillion electron volts up to 14 trillion electron volts and cause these two paths to collide. What do they think will happen? I would think that you would probably blow up that portion of the planet. And interestingly, in a conversation I had with General Jeremiah last week, he said that their intelligence and agency and scientists have determined that that would probably take out Europe if they succeed in causing those two opposing paths of atoms to collide.
Well, you know, Dan Brown in his book, in the movie, Devils and Angels, Angels and Demons, whatever it's called, it's pretty accurate what he's doing. He did his homework on that portion of the antimatter that's being harnessed. You bet. What it could do at ground zero, in his fictionalized account, of course, it was aimed at the Vatican to take the Vatican out. But multiply that times about 1,000. The latent energy is the equivalent of hundreds of hydrogen bombs, ladies and gentlemen. And yet they continue to go on this mad course.
So I found it interesting that at least our intuition was on target.
Mm-hmm.
and it's worth a mention. I've got a question from one of our listeners here. John in Massachusetts listens to the show often, and he knows that we're talking about the Kenites here.
Yes.
And he was hoping that you would expound a little bit about that based on a piece of information that you mentioned regarding Cain being in a temple in Utah. Would you expand on that a little bit?
Well, that's probably need to take a whole show for that. I did a presentation on the Kenite bloodline at in Pasadena, of all places, at the Granada Forum. I think that's still available. I have a PowerPoint on it, but yeah, it's an amazing, amazing story, part of history. The lineage of Cain, of course, in biblical accounts, if you read Genesis clearly, closely, and go back into the original Hebrew, you can see that there's two different periods of creation mentioned there. There's a whole generation, many generations before a secondary creation of Adam and Eve, okay? There's the Creator God that creates an Adam and Eve, and then an individual called the Lord God comes up, or a fallen God creates a secondary Adam and Eve. And it's that secondary Adam and Eve that has the Cain and Abel story, where Cain rises up and because of hostility and jealousy, slays his brother Abel and becomes the author of murder and mayhem, and becomes named as Master Mayhem, which we get the Masons get the Master Mason structure from. But this goes again all the bloodline into King Solomon and Solomon's temple, and it's really the impetus behind the worldwide Freemasonry. The mask of Freemasonry goes back to that same Kenite Jewish bloodline, Khazarian Jewish bloodline. That's what we're talking about here. It's really the same thing we've been talking about in this whole show, from the headquarters of Bulgaria and Romania and into Transylvania. That's the bloodline of the Kenites, the scribes and Pharisees of Christ's time. That's who they are. The Cainites became artificers and workers in metal. Tubal-Cain and the descendants of Cain became skilled in gold and precious metals. And we see the Rothschild arm in all of this, the Rothschild bloodline, controlling the gold of the earth and the world. That's where it comes from, ladies and gentlemen. Most definitely, they trace their genealogy back to the Cain story. They're called Cainites. They became scribes, and at Christ time, the scribes were the ones that were the world's record keepers. They basically wrote the history and made it fit the way they wanted it to. And those massive records, such as the Library of Alexandria, Egypt, massive library of antiquity, telling the true origins of all things, of all bloodlines, all origins of the Orientals to the Caucasians, to the Negro races, where they really came from. The scribes had to make sure that those were all destroyed. And yes, indeed, the Great Alexandria archives and library were, in fact, destroyed by these same groups.
Well, I appreciate that you're summarizing it so concisely. Possibly on an upcoming show, we could talk about the pyramids of the United States.
Oh, yes.
I was talking to a dear friend today about that very topic. And especially the pyramid that was in Miamisburg, Ohio. And was dismantled.
The pyramids on Long Island, the Montauk Indians? That's an incredible story.
Yes.
Yeah.
And definitely a connection to many of the topics that we've been discussing tonight. So
yes, it all ties back into Ethiopia, as we talked on Drew Rain's show for 2 hours last Wednesday. And we'll continue that thread this Wednesday. He really wants to discuss that. I fired off to him a CD-ROM of photographs of these rare books I was talking about on the show, which I have in my safe deposit archives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic information in these books concerning the true history of the Christian church and how, the Ethiopia structures of... You have two distinct bloodlines coming out of Ethiopia, and most people don't realize this. The Catholic Church and the Cainites, which again, the Catholic Church is founded by the Cainite scribes. You go back and you find that there's a dark-skinned Negro race and a Aryan, blue-eyed, auburn-haired Caucasian race that they inhabited the early reaches of Ethiopia. Ethiopia rivaled any culture, was even greater, of course, than Egypt. You have the Queen of Sheba. You have Cleopatra. All of them coming from Ethiopia with the world's wealth at their fingertips. So, the West seems to think now of Ethiopia as just a bunch of spear-chucking bushmen. No, no. The civilization is immensely, incredibly advanced there in Ethiopia.
Yes, well, maybe we can talk about that on next week's show. We're out of time, Dr. Ott, but I want to thank you and give out your website, if you would, please, for those interested in either getting your books or any of your holistic products.
Well, thanks, Don. Thanks for the opportunity. Yes, it's www.meminerals. ME stands for Mother Earth, which is my company, Mother Earth Minerals, meminerals.com. And you can go there, and my books are available. I have two books that you should get, and also a reprinted copy of Mr. Higgins' Horrors of Vaccination, which was published in 1920. An incredible, incredible book. And again, the people behind the vaccines and Big Pharma, same group of people, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I want to thank you for being on the show and look forward to your show with Drew Raines on Wednesday. That's on Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. And, of course, your show on RBN Monday through Friday, The Story Behind the Story. Thanks so much for being with
us
this
evening.
Thank
you, Don. Be safe and God bless you.
And have a good night.
Good night.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. Truat. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Don Newsome on the sound. Great sound tonight, Don. Could hear everything. Don and Doug Newsome for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I'd also like to thank John in Massachusetts for his question. I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.